Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We're glad y'all are here. We're looking tonight at a very sobering passage of Scripture, the Great White Throne Judgment. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen just exactly the way God says it's going to happen. And I hope it'll break our hearts tonight for lost folks, for people that are headed there right now, that need to make that decision to trust Christ and Christ alone. And I appreciate you all coming tonight, being so faithful on Sunday evenings. And I've come to really enjoy Sunday nights. We're a lot more laid back and just a fantastic evening. I'd rather be here right now than anywhere. I really would be. Other than there, you know. I'd love to be there too. So anyways, let's pray together. Father, thank you again for bringing us here to such a time as this. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless the service. Thank you so much for what you did here this morning. I pray for, I'm just kind of selfish, Lord. I want to see somebody else saved again tonight. And so I don't know who's here and who's not here, but you do, Lord. You know our hearts better than anybody. And I appreciate Dwight Dixon coming to help with our music so much. And I appreciate our sound and media techs back here. Thank you for Lauren and all her hard work tonight. And I ask God that you would just come and sit down amongst us again this evening and teach us from your word. Thank you for meeting all of our needs in Jesus' name. Amen. We're glad y'all are here. We're looking tonight at a very sobering passage of Scripture, the Great White Throne Judgment. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen just exactly the way God says it's going to happen. And I hope it'll break our hearts tonight for lost folks, for people that are headed there right now, that need to make that decision to trust Christ and Christ alone. And I appreciate you all coming tonight, being so faithful on Sunday evenings. And I've come to really enjoy Sunday nights. We're a lot more laid back and just a fantastic evening. I'd rather be here right now than anywhere. I really would be. Other than there, you know. I'd love to be there too. So anyways, let's pray together. Father, thank you again for bringing us here to such a time as this. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless the service. Thank you so much for what you did here this morning. I pray for, I'm just kind of selfish, Lord. I want to see somebody else saved again tonight. And so I don't know who's here and who's not here, but you do, Lord. You know our hearts better than anybody. And I appreciate Dwight Dixon coming to help with our music so much. And I appreciate our sound and media techs back here. Thank you for Lauren and all her hard work tonight. And I ask God that you would just come and sit down amongst us again this evening and teach us from your word. Thank you for meeting all of our needs in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go through our prophetic timeline. Rapture. How quickly does that happen? Poof! I mean, in the twinkling of an eye. And that could happen when? Anytime. And then the next great prophetic event on the prophetic calendar is right here. And what's going to happen here? The literal what? Come on now, don't be afraid to answer truth, okay? The second coming of Christ. And so there's a seven-year period in here from the rapture to the literal second coming, the return of Christ to this planet. We call that the what? Somebody just said it, Don. The seven-year great tribulation period. We've covered all that. We covered the return of Christ. And then, what did we say this was here? The great white throne judgment. We're talking about that tonight. And then in between the return of Christ, remember we talked about that last week? The millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, I've got three more sermons after tonight. Tonight we're looking at the Great White Throne Judgment, but we're going to be in Revelation 21, 1 through 8 next Sunday night. The new heavens and the new earth, and then the rest of those verses in chapters 21 will be the second Sunday from now. Talk about the new Jerusalem, the city coming down out of heaven. And then chapter 22 will be the third Sunday night from now, and we'll talk about last things from Revelation 22. And then I'm going to dive into some prophetic messages just kind of that have to do with end time events and end time questions. So we've done pretty well since March the 4th or March the 25th. We've moved through chronologically through the book of Revelation. And so we come to the great white throne judgment tonight. And, you know, ever since Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, Satan has been telling humanity, you just live any old way you want to live. It's okay. I mean, you just do what you want. There's no punishment. There's no consequences. There's no accounting for sin, for your actions. There's coming, however, a day of reckoning, a day of sentencing. And John sees a courtroom setting in our passage for tonight, but there's no jury and only one judge. There's no prosecution. There's no debate. There's no lawyers and no rebuttal. Brother Kevin, there's no cross-examination and no appeals. There's no probation, no parole, and no escape. The time has come for unbelievers to be judged. And that's what the Great White Throne Judgment is all about. So let's look at it. We're in Revelation chapter 20. I'll start there at verse 11. John says, "Then I saw." How many times have we read that? Look, "Then I saw. Then I saw. Then I saw. Then I saw." We've heard that over and over again, hadn't we? This really is going to happen. John saw it happen. It's going to happen. He doesn't say, I hope this would happen. I guess this would happen. I dream this would happen. I wish this would happen. No, I saw it. I saw it. He says, "I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them." "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books," plural, "were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works." Verse 14. "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Father, what a heartbreaking, soul-wrenching, convicting, challenging passage of Scripture this is. There is coming a reckoning for sin. There is going to be a day of judgment. And so, God, would you seal our hearts tonight? And help us, like John said, "I saw it," to believe it as if we have seen it. And help us to live according to what we hear tonight, that our behavior might match our belief. I ask it in the name of Jesus. All God's children said, amen. Just got a real simple little outline for you to follow this evening. The judge, and the judgment. And we'll move through this passage of Scripture tonight. Now, first of all, the judge. John sees a great white throne. And it is great because of its power and its purpose in judgment. It's white. Anybody know why this great throne is white. It speaks of its purity. Heaven and earth, John says, will flee, will run. Everything that people have depended on will be gone. I think that's his way of saying that. There will be nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. John sees a judge, capital J, sitting on the throne. And it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his splendor and all of his majesty. He is no longer on the back of a donkey, some mild, meek Savior. He is now both Lord and Judge. Turn with me to John chapter 5. I want you to see this. This is way back in John chapter 5. John 5 in verse 22. Well, let's back up to verse 21. John 5:21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. How many of you would say amen to that? How many of you have that life that He gave you? All right. For the Father, verse 22, judges no one, but has committed, now watch this, don't miss this, all judgment to the Son. And so Jesus is both judge and jury. I mean, He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the all in all, and He is the judge. And so John sees this great white throne, great in its power and great in its purpose, white in its purity. The judgment that will be handed down at this great white throne will be totally righteous. God is a just judge. And if He ceased to judge sin, He would cease to be holy. His very nature causes Him to judge sin. And so John 5:22 reveals to us tonight that all judgment has been handed over to the Son. The Lord Jesus is not only our Savior, He is the judge. Now, every person that has ever lived will meet Jesus Christ. And let me just tell you, if you haven't met Him as Savior, you will meet Him as judge. If you don't meet Him in grace, you're going to meet Him in judgment. Turn with me to Acts 10:42. We're going to look at some scripture tonight. Acts 10:42. I want you to get this. If you don't have time to get there, you can just write these verses down. But if you've got an iPhone, you can get there real quick. Acts 10:42. And if you've been through Bible drill, you can get there even quicker. Somebody shout amen. Acts 10:42. Acts 10:42 says, "And He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead." Now flip on over, turn right to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I'm just giving y'all some ammunition right now. Just giving you the background stuff to this passage of Scripture that we just read. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 makes it real clear. The Word of God says, "I charge you therefore," 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." And so make no mistake about it, the judge will be on the throne, and His judgment will be righteous. Everyone is going to stand before the judge, all the living and all the dead. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ. Every believer is going to be judged, not for our sin, but for our works. And everything you've ever done for the Lord Jesus and His honor and praise and glory, you're going to get a reward. And you'll receive one of five crowns. How many of y'all like to wear a crown? Most of y'all have never even worn a crown. I don't even know what a crown looks like. But we're going to receive rewards, positions and places of service. We're going to be judged for our works. Our sin was judged where? Calvary. Amen. Every sin I've ever committed, Jesus paid the price for. I don't make me want to get by with what I can get by with. That makes me want to serve God with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. So he's going to be, and he's going to judge the dead as well here. So we've got the judge. He's taking care of all of the judgment. Okay? Have you got that? The judge. Now let's look at the judge. Look at verses 12 and 13. Let's get reacquainted with those two verses. And John says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books plural were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. There will be millions. This is the second resurrection. There will be millions standing before this throne. John describes them all as dead. How can you raise dead folks? Well, he's not talking necessarily, although most of them will be physically dead, but there will be some come out of that millennial kingdom that are still physically alive, and they're all going to be resurrected to the judgment of damnation. Going to be raised for judgment. But John describes them as being spiritually dead. Do you remember that little passage that we quote oftentimes over there in Ephesians chapter 2? The Bible says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. We don't like to think about it, but brothers and sisters, before we got saved, we were dead, walking dead folks. We were spiritually dead as a doornail. But when Christ came in, He moved us from death unto life, and now we're no longer dead, we're alive forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. That's even going to bring the Sunday night crowd to their feet. Glory to God. Now, and so all of these folks are standing before all these spiritually dead people. Like I said, many will have already died physically, but there'll be some who had come out of that millennial kingdom, but none of these people have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Millions and millions and millions. I think the Department of... Kevin, you may know this. I think there, at one point in time, there have been 30 billion people on this planet. 30 billion. And my Bible tells me narrow is the... And rough is the way. And few find that narrow road. Few. And so just think about it. There are billions there before this great white throne and this judge. And so the book of life has a bunch of names in it. And the only people who have their names written in the book of life are believers, followers of Christ, born again, blood washed, filled by the Spirit of Almighty God type folks. Amen? And so I want to ask you again tonight, has your name been written down in the Lamb's book of life? You want your name in that book. You had better make sure tonight, before you leave here, that your name has been written in that book of life. And so these folks are dead in trespasses and sin. And now where do these lost people come from? Well, John tells us that they come from everywhere. Now, when a person dies, his body goes to the grave and his soul goes somewhere else. When a believer dies, where does his or her soul go? That's right. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we die as believers, yeah, our body goes to the ground, but bless God, our soul immediately is in the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine what it's like can you imagine what it would be like to take your last breath here and the next breath you take is in the celestial kingdom in heaven? To open your eyes and you're in glory? We've got Baptists shouting, woo, in here. Mercy me. God's taken care of everything for us, hasn't He? But where does the soul of an unbeliever go? To Hades. And I'll point that out to you here in just a minute. Now, Hades is not the final destination. Now, don't y'all go out of here and tell everybody that Brother Cal said that there is a purgatory. I don't believe in purgatory. But I believe in a place called Hades. You remember the story of rich man and Lazarus? The Bible says that Lazarus wound up in Hades in Luke chapter 16. That's That's contemporary hell today. And you don't want to go there. But they're being held there until this resurrection, and then they're going to be cast in the Bible word for hell, Gehenna, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Are y'all with me? And there have been thousands of people, thousands upon millions of people that are in Hades, this temporary, contemporary thing that we call hell or Hades. And they're waiting there. Some of them have been there for thousands of years, and they're waiting on the sentencing or the judgment. And at this great white throne judgment, God's going to raise these people from the dead, most of them. There will be a few that are alive out of that millennial kingdom, probably. But here's the deal. Their soul and their body will be reunited. And they're all going to be standing before this great white throne judgment. Where are they coming from? Out of the tombs. Out of the graves. They'll come from the depths of the sea. They will come from burning sands, out of the tropical bush, from this age and that age. They will come. And all will come to stand before the judge. These are folks who have denied the Lord. These are folks that have ignored the Lord, rejected the Lord, didn't believe the Lord, and those who simply just didn't have time for the Lord. How many of you have heard excuses from folks? And that's exactly what they are, is excuses. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to be saved. You don't want to wait tomorrow because you don't even know what tomorrow holds. Amen? Man, I'm sitting here thinking about family members right now. Today, they need to be saved. Right now, today, they need to be born again. And they're going to be judged according to their works or their sins, which have been written where? In books. Now, they used to call these things candid cameras. What do they call them now, Eli? iPhone videos, I guess. I don't know. But God's got a camera running. He's making a video now. And God doesn't need an iPhone to record and video everything. He's got it. The tape is running right now. And He's recorded every word that's ever been said, every deed that's ever been done. He knows all of our secrets. All of the skeletons are going to come out of the closet on that day. Let me tell you, I love Adrian. Don't y'all miss Dr. Adrian Rogers? Oh my goodness, I miss him. And here's what he said in one of his books. He believes that there will be five kinds of sinners, five groups of sinners, if you will, in this judgment. And I want you to think about these groups of folks, because there are some that will be there and they're just outright sinners and they don't care who knows about it. You know some folks like that? They don't care. They'll tell you flat out, I'm a sinner. I don't care. That's who I am. There'll be that group there. And then there'll be some self-righteous sinners. Some Pharisees. You know any of those folks? And then there'll be some procrastinating sinners. Well, I'll do that. But I'm going to wait. Time's just not right. And then there'll be a bunch of lost church members in this crowd. Lost church members. I told y'all about our Southern Baptists. I love Southern Baptists because I are one. And there's about 17 million of them, give or take a few thousand every day. But we can't find half of them because they never attend church anywhere. And on average, about 4 million of them show up on Sunday. Few find that narrow way. Few find it. That scares me to death. And then there'll be one other crowd, sinners who've never heard the gospel. Which crowd were you once in? Those five make sense to me. There'll be five different kinds of groups of folks who are there. And then they're going to, these books will be opened, and the works, the sins that they've committed. And I believe there's going to be degrees of punishment in hell. Now it'll be hell, just for the simple fact that you won't be able to experience the love and grace of God in hell. That's hell right there, amen? But look at Luke. I want you to see this. Luke, there are degrees of punishment in hell. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. All right. Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. And that servant, we're talking about the unprofitable servant, who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Now, flip on over to Mark chapter 12. Matthew, Mark chapter 12. And Mark has pretty much the same message. Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. Mark 12, 38. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Degrees of punishment in hell. Look at Matthew 11. I guess this may be the most dramatic or plain passage on degrees of punishment for me in the Bible. Look at Matthew 11, 20 through 24. Matthew 11, verse 20. "Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not," what? "Repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted in heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." There is going to be degrees of punishment in hell. The Bible's crystal clear. Now, you don't want to get to hell. You don't want to go there, but there will be some degrees of punishment. And the works are all written down in the books. And I'll tell you, the judge is going to open those books and it'll be plain for all to see. The books of sin will be opened and punishment will be administered based on what's found in those books. Are y'all with me? God keeps a record of everything. God keeps a record of everything. Every thought, every word, every deed, every action, everything that's ever gone on, they're written down in books. And they're all going to be measured. All of these folks are going to be measured by God's holy standard. If you're in this line at the great white throne judgment, you're already doomed, condemned. You're going to hell. But others in that lake that burns with fire and brimstone, but there will be degrees of punishment in hell, just like there's going to be different rewards handed out at the judgment seat of Christ. Are y'all with me? Are y'all upset with me? I didn't write the book. Let's look at the judgment. Verses 14 and 15 in Revelation 20. Isn't this sobering? "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The book of life is going to be brought out as the final piece of evidence. The final piece of evidence that they're without Christ. And these folks are going to search and search for their names in the book of life and they won't find them. And would you just flip? I want you to see this. I've been quoting it, but look over at Matthew 7. These are what these folks are going to be saying. Matthew chapter 7. Look it back up to verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Does that mean you're saved by works? Absolutely not. It means that if you're saved, you're going to be obedient to what God tells you to do. You're going to desire to do God's will in your life. Are you going to be perfect? No. But the desire of your heart is to please God. If you're born again, you want to please God. And when you don't, man, you feel guilty and nasty and dirty and ashamed and embarrassed. Am I preaching to the choir? Are y'all getting this? All right. Look at Matthew 7, 21. Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, what day? The day of judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. But Lord, my name's on Second Mile Church roll. But Lord, I wrote check after check to the church. But Lord, I was on the pastor search committee. But Lord, I was a deacon. But Lord, I was a singer. I was on the praise team. But Lord, I was out in the community making cotton candy for those kids. And I did all this in your name. Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. You see, the important thing is not do you know him, but does he know you? Did y'all get that? The important thing is not that you know him, but does he know you? I never knew you. My sheep hear my voice. This just occurred to me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And how does he know them? Because they follow me. If you're a believer, you're all about following Jesus to do his will. It's deep down in you. It's who you are. It's what motivates you and stimulates you. And so, oh my, at that very moment, multiplied millions and millions and millions of people are going to be cast into a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. A liquid lake of fire. Eternal hell is a place. Gehenna is a place where the fire never goes out. Eternally tormented. Thirst. Thirsty for all. In other words, your desires will never be met in hell. You'll be eternally in pain and anguish. You'll live in outer darkness. That speaks of separation. And folks will remember for all of eternity every sermon they've ever heard, every Sunday school lesson that's ever been taught. They'll remember every Christian song that's ever been sung. You just go home and read Luke chapter 16 and how the rich man, how he was feeling and what was happening to him. And here's the deal, y'all. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He created hell for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25, 41. And Brother Kevin, we don't have to wait for a fair trial. We can get a full pardon tonight, right now. Right now, tonight, you can get a full pardon. Why? Because Jesus went to our hell for us. Jesus went to our hell for us. And so I don't know where you are with all this tonight, but I'll tell you where I am. I remember what it was like. You can only know so much, I guess, as a 9-year-old boy. But I remember Brother John David Lida preaching on the prodigal son when I was 9 years old down at Montgomery Bell State Park. He was standing out on the dock and we were sitting there on the hillside and he was talking about a rebellious son. Me. And he told us where that kind of lifestyle and that kind of those kinds of choices and decisions lead people. And you remember that Jewish boy that was slopping the hogs down in the mud with the pigs? That's where Satan will take you. And then eventually he'll take you to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And you don't have to go there. And I want to tell as many people as I can get in front of. I don't care what we got to do here at Second Mile, or how we do it, rather. But we've got to get the gospel to people. That's why we're here. That's why God still has you here, so that you and I, that we would share the good news of Jesus with people. And it may be down on a riverbank somewhere. It may be in a pontoon boat. It may be in the General Jackson, Lee. I don't know where it's going to happen. But we've got to get out where the people are and tell them, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to show up at the great white throne judgment. You can be a child of the King and have abundant life and eternal life. And it's all based upon what you do with Jesus. I wonder tonight, does He know you? Doesn't really matter. Well, I know Him. Does He know you? Well, the way my Bible reads, it's not hard to figure out. But your salvation and mine did not come cheaply. Jesus died stark naked out on a cross outside of camp, outside of the city of Jerusalem, for all to see. And He took everything that He needed to take that day, that He needed to take for my salvation. And when God poured all the sins of humanity out on His Son, the Father turned His back on the Lord Jesus. And Jesus suffered, bled, and died all alone on that hill for me and for you. And the old sinister minister of fear and doubt thought that was it. He thought he had won. And all of a sudden on that third day, that tomb began to shake and those soldiers began to rattle. Whoo! And that stone began to roll. And Jesus came out of that tomb alive forevermore. And He is at the right hand of God tonight. And you know what He's doing tonight? He's praying for you. He's interceding on your behalf. And I wonder if part of His prayer request there at the throne of God beside the Father, you know, I wish Cal would just go next door. I wish Cal would just go next door and tell his neighbor where the bread is and where the water is. What are we going to do with this message tonight, church? Are we just going to walk out of here and say, oh, that was a good time to be at church tonight? No, we need to be obedient to what God's told us to do tonight and be a witness. Would you bow your head? Right where you sit tonight, if you're not right with God, if you're not sure if God knows you or not, you just simply do what the Bible says do. Just cry out to God. Ask Him to save you right where you sit. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Commit your way unto Him. Surrender your life to Him. The Bible says He will receive you because you have already received Him. You've taken that gift of salvation. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward tonight, but I would ask if you'd like to do that, or maybe you just did that today. If you prayed and asked Christ to really save you for the first time, you really meant business with God. Would you just slip your hand up in the air and then put it right back down? Anybody? Slip your hand right up in the air. Say, yeah, Pastor, I know that I'm born again now. I know I'm saved. I'm not going to wind up at the judgment throne, the great white throne. Anybody? Father, obviously, this message was for the church to get us out of the building, to get us out where lost folks are, to give them our testimony. I was so blessed to hear Thomas Smith's testimony, so blessed to hear Rick Tobler's testimony, so blessed to hear Brother Shep's testimony over and over again. God, there isn't anybody too far away from you tonight that you can't save. You can save the most lost person on this planet. And I believe that's in your will. But God, they need somebody to tell them. And we don't have to go to the end of the earth. We can just go next door or across the street or to the cubicle at the office or at the lunchroom table or wherever it is. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.